Morning, Church. Can we please stand for today's reading? Acts 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you of all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw and then from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further amongst the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen or heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Morning, TBC. I'm sure you notice there's a few things to get in behind. 24/7 gala night, apart from the fact it'll be fun, good place to go and support that's coming up. And then the Working Bee, it's all in one weekend. Did you pick up on that? Yeah, easy to put in the calendars. Friday night, Saturday, rolls into one. Get in behind it. So, good things happening there. And good to get a bit of feedback from Melissa on what's happening with 24/7 youth work. Isn't that amazing, 15 years? Like, that brings kind of perspective to the impact that the youth work has had and the community here has had in the schools. So let's bring on more of that, Lord. I'm going to start by asking you a few questions. You do not need to answer. You're allowed to keep your answers private. So, who is here because someone in their family shared Jesus or introduced them to Jesus? Who's here because, like, a friend actually introduced them to Jesus or shared Jesus with you? Who's here because a stranger shared Jesus with you? But people in all camps there, haven't we? Isn't that exciting when you just start to pause and think about it? Why are you here? Someone's introduced you to Jesus at some point along the way. Let's keep doing that, eh? And then there's work to do, passing on the good news. Some of us will be called to actually share Jesus with a lot of people. It'll be a large part of our life. Some of us, it'll just be woven in to where God puts us, to the relationships. We all need to be ready to give a reason for the hope we have in Jesus. Amen? Together, the good news spreads as we support each other in that work. So this morning, we're continuing to actually spend some time with the first people to share the good news of Jesus, Peter and John. We're in Acts chapter 4 today, as we've already discovered. And as you've already probably picked up, so the lame man was boldly healed, suddenly healed by Jesus through Peter's bold declaration. And then a crowd has suddenly gathered around him, and he seizes the moment to actually start declaring that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. But then Peter and John start to encounter some serious opposition to what they are saying. And this is the first very obvious opposition that they're experiencing after Pentecost. And I'll just touch base on what we just read. So the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people, and they were greatly disturbed. What did they do? They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Okay, so this was not just people heckling and shouting out abuse. This is actually being seized and thrown into prison. It's pretty serious opposition. And where is this opposition coming from? It's actually coming from the rulers, the elders, and the religious leaders. Now, the religious leaders who oppose Jesus continue to oppose Jesus, who is now working through Peter and John. And do you think this would have surprised them? Would they have been surprised by this opposition? Probably not, because Jesus had very much prepared them for this exact situation. I don't know if you remember some of the words of Jesus, but he prepared them for this moment. This is what he said. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. So, again, we're just getting this remarkable insight that Jesus prepared Peter and John for all of this kingdom work. He prepared them to wait for the coming Holy Spirit. He prepared them to understand his authority and his power. He prepared them to go and do this kingdom work together with others. And he prepared them for this opposition that they are now facing. But why are they facing opposition? Why is this coming at them when they are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? And Jesus said, and he said there, he said, they will oppose you because of my name and because they do not know the Father. So the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law are opposing because they do not know God. They know a lot about God. That's, you know, they know a lot about God, but they do not actually know him. They resist Jesus and they resist what he is doing because they do not recognize his work in their midst. Jesus said, they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. I remember being in an African country and was speaking at a pastor's gathering, and then afterwards, or in the middle of the day, it was lunchtime, and went and sat with a lot of the leaders and had lunch together. And then they just started sharing about the persecution that they had been facing. You know, people being kidnapped, torture, people being killed. I'm sitting around this table, overwhelmed by their testimony. Then we go back into the hall that we're gathered in, and during lunchtime, a spontaneous time of worship and dance just broken out. And so I walk in out of after hearing these stories back into this room, into a place of just unimaginable joy. And do you know how loud that joy and that worship is when suddenly you heard the stories of what they are facing and what is going on? It has stuck with me ever since. If you love Jesus, if you follow Jesus, if you obey Jesus, if you serve Jesus, people will oppose you. Opposition is guaranteed when you are following Jesus Christ. Around the world, Christians are still dying because of their faith in Jesus. In New Zealand, there will be opposition. It's most likely going to be relational, less likely going to be physical. People may stop associating with you. People may unfollow you on social media. Actually, this week, I just saw Bear Grylls put a post up on his social media, kind of boldly talking about Jesus. Then in the comments, everyone was just slamming him. And it got quite personal, you know. Some people started saying, I'm going to unfollow you. And others were kind of saying, you're so gullible. And what's going on? You're not kind of accusing him of not being intelligent. And suddenly it got quite hostile. That post actually is not on social media anymore, interestingly. So people might argue and disagree with what you're saying and doing. Doors or opportunities may actually shut because of your faith in Jesus. But you know what? The joy of the Lord is still available, even in times of severe hardship. In fact, the existence of opposition is actually a reason to celebrate. Does that make sense? The existence of opposition to our faith in Jesus Christ is a reason to celebrate. This is, again, the words of Jesus. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So opposition for talking about Jesus does not mean you're actually doing the wrong thing. It actually often means you might be doing the right thing. Opposition for your faith in Jesus does not mean that God has abandoned you. Actually, it could quite likely mean that God is using you and people are being provoked. And opposition because of Jesus is not a reason to be disheartened, actually quite the opposite. It's a reason to celebrate and rejoice and what is happening, and the significance of what that means. It's quite challenging when you think about it. Praise the Lord for his presence as he leads us through tough terrain, and praise the Lord that he prepares us, that we should be ready for this. So what did Peter do when he encountered the opposition from the rulers and the elders? What was his response? Let's just touch base on that. Now I've got something in my throat. Sorry about that. It's still in my throat. Okay, it's gone. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we... And then he gives a whole explanation around why he is doing this. He goes on and he says, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So Peter and John had just spent the night in jail, then they're pulled out before the religious leaders to be interrogated and questioned about what had happened. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, I've been given a drink of water. That's amazing. Thank you, Tor. Yeah, I don't know what, that's very kind of you. There you go. There's love in action, kindness in action. Yeah. Thank you so much. So Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit and he explains and continues to proclaim. Oh man, everyone's working together. This is outstanding. Oh man. All I need is like a couch, lazy boy. Sorry. The body of Christ working together, we just saw it happening today. Thank you, Judy. Okay, so Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's still filled with the Holy Spirit. Continues to proclaim salvation in Christ alone, even though he is being challenged and interrogated on the very fact that he's doing that. Do you see the boldness that has just risen up? And he said, why are you doing all these things? And he actually just continues to do it. He continues to proclaim that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ and explain what he's doing. Did you also note that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit? So this is not a reference saying that he's filled with the Holy Spirit previously. This implies that he's actually filled with the Holy Spirit afresh. There is a fresh anointing, a fresh moment of power for the task that is at hand in that moment. And what again is so wonderful about this entire interaction is Jesus prepared Peter for this. It's not a surprise that he is being interrogated and questioned. Peter was ready. Why? This is what Jesus said. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, where's Peter at the moment? He's in that place. Do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. How cool is that? And then in that moment, he's brought into that place. He experiences the Holy Spirit leading and guiding him. He is boldly continuing to witness that Jesus Christ is the only way. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, Peter does not back down. Rather, he turns up the volume and starts witnessing who to the rulers and the authorities. The wisdom of God that what appears to be a crisis is actually an opportunity for Peter to now witness and share the good news with those in authority. Are you seeing what's happening here? So often we grieve hardship in difficult times when the difficulty, the opposition, is actually the pathway to bring a message to those who are hard to reach. Is this making sense? Through this difficulty, this hardship, he is now able to share the good news with those in authority in a way that would not have happened had he not been brought into that situation. The wisdom of the Lord. Praise God for what we're seeing here. And after this initial interrogation, the rulers and elders then withdraw again. They're like, man, what do we do with Peter and John? We don't know how to deal with this. Their boldness is clearly not quenched. It's actually rising up. What did they do? What did they say? Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So what's the entire conclusion of this discussion? We will listen to God, not you. I love that. Therefore, we will not obey what you are asking us to do. Their boldness does not shrink back. They are so convinced of what God is asking them to do. They are so convinced that they should listen to God that they immediately reject the request. We're not going to stop sharing about Jesus Christ and talking about what he has done. So you could say that in this particular situation, the Holy Spirit has empowered them with boldness to resist and to reject this request because it's actually disobeying God. God is asking them to proclaim and share the good news of Jesus. They are not going to stop. They are not going to be silenced. Praise the Lord for that. Resistance is the right response when someone is trying to quench or silence the work that God is doing. We don't physically resist. We resist by speaking the words that the Holy Spirit gives us at that time and by continuing to do what Jesus has asked us to do. How that resistance is expressed depends on the situation and how the Holy Spirit leads us. Praise the Lord for this scripture. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? We are servants to our Lord. We obey him despite the opposition that will come. We will continue to preach, to speak, and to share the good news of Jesus. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. In the middle of this interrogation of Peter and John, so the rulers and the elders make a really interesting observation that I believe gives us some insight into the faith journey. I found this so helpful and meaningful over the years. Let's just touch base on it. This is what they notice. When they saw the courage, of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Unschooled, ordinary men who had been with Jesus were boldly teaching the crowd about God and doing undeniable miracles. The religious leaders were experiencing a contrast that was just kind of astonishing and overwhelming them, and they were like, they had noticed this, they could not ignore it. Peter and John were not trained like they were. Yet Peter and John are standing up there talking about God stuff and God things. That's their job. Why are they doing this? And Peter and John had been with Jesus, and they knew that. And it's worth noting, it's helpful to note that the Christian church started with unschooled, ordinary men who had been with Jesus. That's the foundation of our faith. Jesus Christ is clearly the cornerstone, but they are the living stone. So Jesus chooses people who do not fit the religious expectations of the day and people who were not part of the intellectual elite to start his church. You remember where it all started? So this is Peter and John calling them out of the boat. So Jesus calling Peter and John out of the boat, sorry. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. I'll send you out to fish for people. And then a little bit later on, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were also in a boat with their father Zebedee. Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Peter and John started life as fishermen and were qualified and now able to fish for people because why? They had been with Jesus. That is what made them ready. That is what qualified them. That is what is enabling them to now fish for men. Being with Jesus is still the qualification that we need today. Being with Jesus is still what makes us ready for the work, for the jobs, for the tasks that he has for us. Have you been with Jesus? Are you walking with Jesus? Has he prepared and trained you? Has he shown you his ways? Has Jesus shown you his ways? Has he opened your eyes to the kingdom? Has he demonstrated his truth and wisdoms? Has he exposed you to experiences and then debriefed what's going on with you? Being with Jesus starts by hearing the good news about Jesus. Once you put your faith in him and receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with you. You are then able to be with Jesus, talk to Jesus, walk with Jesus, who then teaches us, shows us, trains us, looks after us. Through the Holy Spirit, we're able to be with Jesus, be taught by Jesus, and we too can be unschooled, ordinary people who have been with Jesus. And when he sends us out and when we do things and we get kickback and opposition, we are ready because we've been with Jesus. We know what to say because we're still with Jesus. We have outrageous confidence because Jesus is with us and he's made us ready. Do you recognize the value of being with Jesus compared to any other thing that you are chasing? Do you recognize the value of just being with Jesus to make you ready for anything that's in front of us? The foundation of our faith, unschooled ordinary men who have been with Jesus, may we also be with Jesus. That is what qualifies and makes us ready. So the disciples had been with Jesus in the flesh, clearly, and they continue to be with Jesus in his spirit. So after they were released from the interrogation, they actually then went back to their own people, ran back to tell their own people, the other disciples, what had been happening. And we know that the growth of the church was actually quite radical. At Pentecost, I think it was like 2,000 people gave their faith and to Jesus. Then we heard just before they had escalated to 3,000. So it's almost the beginning of the megachurch, isn't it? We've got 3,000 people in the early days. The megachurch is not a modern concept. It actually started way back then. Thousands of people coming to the Lord. So they ran back to go and tell their people. We don't know how many or who it was. This is what happened. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And they continued to pray. I've skipped a little bit there. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So together as they prayed, they were once again filled with the Holy Spirit. So I find this helpful, a fresh infilling of his power, a confirmation of his presence, the comfort of having their prayers affirmed and answered in a tangible way. Being with Jesus was an ongoing reality for them, for the first disciples. It's not a once-off thing. You know, they had walked with Jesus in the flesh. He then poured out his Holy Spirit upon them at Pentecost. Peter is experiencing the Holy Spirit in that moment when he's been confronted and interrogated. They gather and celebrate and they're filled with the Holy Spirit again. Being filled and empowered by the Spirit is an ongoing reality for believers as we seek him, follow him, and do his work. It's not a once-off experience. You know, at one point Jesus says that streams of living water will flow from within you. He fills and empowers us for each day and for the task in front of us. He flows through us with his wisdom, with his truth. He's always with us, but there is a flow and movement of his spirit, of his wisdoms, of his truths, of his power for each day and for each task that's in front of us. When was the last time you raised your voices together in prayer to God? Maybe that's part of your week, part of your day. When you're together as home groups, when we're together. When was the last time you were filled with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you were aware of the Spirit's presence and power within you? When was the last time that you were celebrating and praying with others and asking God for what you needed? Maybe that's part of your week, part of your day, part of your rhythms. So let's take on board what we're seeing happen here. Let's honor and worship the Lord as a body of believers who love and know Jesus. And let's also seize this moment to pray and seek the Lord and celebrate and ask him for what we need at this time. Maybe it's a time for you to seek him for more of his presence, for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit, for what this week has for you. Let's praise him. Let's pray. Let's worship him today. So we're going to invite the worship team up. We'll start with a time of just open, pray and shout out your prayers and your need. And then in between the worship songs, I'm going to jump up and we're going to continue to just pray and seek the Lord together. It's a time of worship, but it's also a time of participation, of prayer and of seeking. Shall we all stand? Jesus, we love you, we want you, we acknowledge that you've brought us together, we acknowledge that we need you and we ask you for what we need in this season. We honor your name and we pray for boldness and courage, Lord, in each of the fields that you've put us. We thank you that we can come together to support and encourage each other, and we thank you that you are with us through our week. We pray for wisdom as we speak. We pray for sensitivity as you lead us in every aspect of our week. We thank you that you're working all things for good, Lord. We need you. It's a time of open prayer, open praise. Shout it out, speak it out if you want to. Then we're going to worship and continue to do this together. Lord, we love you.